All right, we're on Tafam Mud Aleph. Okay, so I'll begin. Okay, 6a, 6a, four lines from the top. Okay, so near the two dots. So the Gemara says, Tanya, we learn the Brisa, Ab ben Yamin Omer, Imalei, the Nabra should lie in the road, in Kobir Yecholon, Mimneim Azikim. So the Gemara mentioned that it's important to say Kriyat Shema L'mita. And there's a concern for mazikim. Mazikim are like these spirits. And I'll give you different ways to understand this whole sugya. Wait till the end of the sugya. So when he says, "Imalina Rishu lie in the road, in Kobir Yecholom Neim Mazikim." If you could see them, you couldn't handle it. In other words, like you from fright, you collapse. If you would see all these mazikim are spirits, forces. He says, "Amar Abaye." Abaye says, "Inu Nefishim Minan." They're more numerous than us. They surround us like kisla ugya. Kisla is a ditch around the mound. They would plant things on a mound. There's a ditch of water around it. So these mazikim surround us ki kisla ugya. Amar Rav Huna kol chad b'chad minan alfa mismalei b'rivavata mimine. Every one of us has 1,000 of these mazikim to their left and 10,000 to the right. Amar Rava haiducha dahavi b'kala minayuhavi. The Rava says, like the pressure you feel at the kala. The kala, Rashi says, that the shiurim that they would have, and they even though the Rashi says, let's see the Rashi, the fourth narrow line, Hayducha Dahavi Bekala, Pamim Shabinitam Yoshim Rivachim Biyom HaShabbat, Shabbat Lashmo Drasha, Vidomalahim Kyoshim Dechukim. In other words, it's spacious around, but they feel pressed in. So Rava says it's from the fact that you feel pressure, it's from the mazikim. Back in the Gemara, Hani Birchai Deshilai Minayuhani, when a person feels like tired in the legs from the knees, that's from them. And the way that I think the Maharsha understands, it's these are all talking about Tamid Chachamim here. He says, Hani Mani Durabat and Dabalu Michufya, or one of the Mefarshim says it's talking about Tamid Chachamim. What? Yeah, the whole thing, yeah. Hani Mani Durabat and Dabalu Michufya Didhu. He says that the begadim of the Tamid Chachamim that wear out, they're wearing out from the pressure of the mazikim. In other words, they're not working, but their garments wear out. Hanekari to Menachem Minayu, their legs that bang into things, it's from the mazikim. Haiman Dabai Lemedalahu, the person wants to see them. He says, Leiti Kidma Nihila, he'll take like sifted ashes, Vinahadar Apuria, he'll spread it around his bed, around line 10 on Vavam and Aleph, Uvit Safra Chazi Kikari to Tarnagola. And in the morning, excuse me, he'll see like footprints from a rooster. It means that's the mazikim. Haimad debayin lemechazinu. If a person wants to see these mazikim, leiti shulyata deshunrita, he should get the placenta from a cat. Okay, one second. Ukmata bat ukmata, a black cat that's the daughter of a black cat. Bukrata bat bukrata, each one was the firstborn. There was the firstborn female of a firstborn female. Leikal yil benura, he should burn the placenta in fire. Leishachke, and then he'll grind out the material. Limali eini minei, and fill his eyes, it means like only a drop takes to fill the eyes, v'chazi lahu, and then he'll see them. With the shadi begufta the parzala, l'chatmei begush panka the parzala, and then with the rest of the ashes, in order to preserve it, he should put it in this like iron tube and seal it with an iron seal. Dilmagan v'minei, because mazika might steal it from him. V'lachtam pume keichel litzak, he should close his mouth so he shouldn't be injured. Rabbi bar Abaye abed hachi, Rabbi followed this. Who chazav itzak, he saw them and he was injured. Bam rabban and rachmei alev itzay, so the chamim were mvakish rachmei. Him and he was cured. Okay, so I'll give you three ways to take down the sugya. Excuse me. The first way is a piece from the MS Liakov, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. So this is a piece he has in Parshas Va'era. It says Vayasu Chin Chartumim Tzrayim Balatei, and we see that in Egypt they had wizards, and the wizards were able to do a lot of things that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to do. He says that in earlier times it was more of a koach kedusha, and there was all these nisim are happening. So there's also a koach hatuma in the world. In other words, because it's zel luman zebaralokim. In other words, everybody has a bechira chavshis. So over here I have miracles. Here I have nothing. So it's a no-brainer. I'm going with miracles. But if here I have miracles, here I have wondrous things. So then I have a bechira chavshis. So he says in those days there were more shadim. And by the way, Rashi takes it the mazik. And Shadim, the second wide line in Rashi. Rashi says, Lerod, Kola Shadim Omdim Lefanav. Rashi takes it the Mazikim are the same as Shadim. Shadim are like these spirits. So he says that's the way it was then. Now that we have like less Kedusha in the world, so we also have less like Shadim, less Mazikim. So he says, now he mentions one thing, he mentions, one minute, there's a piece here. Yeah, so he says, so the Rambam holds that there's no Shadim in this world. The Rambam, the Perusha Mishnayot, says nothing with Shadim, it's ridiculous. And everybody asks, we see that there are many places where we see there are stories of Shadim and things like that. And what is the Rambam going to do with all the sugyas to speak about Shadim? Right? So he says, based on what he said, it makes sense. And the Rambam holds that in the time of the Gemara, when the Gemaraim had their Koach, there were these things around. Today, in his time, he felt that it had gone down. Anyway, and then he says, Rav Kamenetsky says, when his cart, he remembers when he was in Kelm, which is a city in Europe, he says, he saw that the Rav Elchanan Wasserman wrote in the name of the Chafetz Chaim, there was a ma'asa with the dibbuk mafursam. A dibbuk is, you know, like a dibbuk is like the spirit takes over you, whatever. So there was one famous incident that had taken place, and he thought that that would be the last one. Because, like, in other words, like the koach of these spirits are going down as we have less koach kedusha in the world. Okay, that's one way. Now, way number two to take it is somebody mentioned to me today, and Rav Schechter also said this to me, that somebody mentioned to him today, that Rav Aaron Soloveitchik thought the mazikim were like bacteria, like illness, you know, like that. So if you say it that way, it's like, you know, this is taking a little bit more in the realm of like science. In other words, like we're surrounded by like all these, you know, bacteria, pathogens, things like that, and that could be the mazikim. Then it's giving you a different way to understand the mazikim. Okay, just 1 minute. Now, the third way is, this is from the Me'iri. The Me'iri says in the Masechet Pesachim, it says, "Kol dekapi kapti badei, kol lo kapti lo kapti badei." It's talking, there's a sugya over there, remember, Zugot, where in Kufiyot and Pesachim, so the Gemara talks about, you shouldn't do things in twos, because like the Mazikim come and attack you when you do things in twos. So the Gemara says, well, how can you have Arba Kosot, because they have Zugot. So the Gemara gets into a whole discussion of Zugot. So in that sugya, the Gemara says, "Kol dekapi kapti badei," that if a person is concerned about Zugot, so the Zugot will attack him. If he's not concerned, kol lo kapti lo kapti badei. If he's not concerned about Zugot, so they're not going to be involved with him. So the Me'iri takes it that he wants to say this is like sort of a rationalist school. He's saying that the people had certain beliefs. As long as the beliefs didn't have an element of a vodazara in them, the Chachamim were not concerned to uproot those beliefs. So they had their beliefs. He's saying like Lechora, it sounds like he's saying that this was like a superstitious thing, is the way the Me'iri sounds like he's saying. But he was saying the people would have this, it sounds like it would be psychosomatic. They do things, do go, and afraid things would happen to them. So I gave you three methods or three approaches, there could be more, you know, to take down this Gemara with the Mazikim. We can either say that there were Mazikim, you could say like Rabbi Yaakov, you know, the Bizban Chazali had these Mazikim, or you could say that they're like organisms, you know, microorganisms and things like that, like Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik was saying, or you could say that it's just something like the Me'iri, it's just something that people believed in those days, but it didn't have an element of Vodazar. Alright, what's the questions about it? But I must say, that last part is hard to touch into the Gemara. Because the Gemara, and the other are the Gemaras, and the Gra brings this down. Somebody was showing me today the Gra in Yoredeh, like the Mechaber seems to say that like saying an incantation over a wound doesn't do anything for you, but you're allowed to, I think, you know, to do it or whatever. So the Gra says, like, what is he? He's quoting from the Rambam. The Mechaber is quoting from the Rambam. So the Gra is saying, what does he mean there? He says that's because he's following the Rambam. He's following all this philosophy. But he's saying, but there are so many Gemaras that said, like, you know, like it mentions Abai Varaba, they created a Eglat Tilta, they created this like fat calf, you know, using Sefer Yetzira and things like that. So it's a big topic. Okay, questions, comments, thoughts, go. Yes.
Oh, just the second your second explanation that they're
microorganisms. Right.
Microorganisms don't leave chicken footprints.
All right, I hear. Okay.
The zero explanation doesn't work with Rabiri because he saw them.
And it's all right.
The first one's the best.
All right, okay. Okay, Michael said you missed our piece on the Mazikim, but we're moving on. Okay, okay, we're on Daf Vav Mem Aleph. I'm moving on, as nobody's got more questions. Okay, so anyway, we're around midway down the narrow columns of Vav Mem Aleph. So Tanya, Av Binyamin Omer, Ein Tefillah Shel Adam Nishmata L'Beit HaKnesset. A person's tefillah is only heard when he prays in the shul. Shneimar L'Shmo L'Rina V'Yol HaTefillah. It says to hear L'Rina V'Tefillah. This pasuk is from Malachim Aleph, talking about the dedication of the Beis HaMikdash. Rish Shlomo Bel says, I'll build the base of Mikdash, and it'll be so the Shmola Rina Bela Tefila. Then you Hashem will hear the Rina and the Tefila. Is that Zachary?
It's not.
Okay. The Shmola, is Zachary with us tonight or not?
No, so I hung up on this guy.
Okay, the Shmola Rina Bela Tefila. The Makom Rina Shamte Tefila. It means the place of Rina. Rina is in the Shul where people sing the Shiro to Hashem. That's where the Tefila should be. Amar Rabin Barabat, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Minayin Shekach Baruch Hu Atzu Vina Knesset. We know that Hashem is to be found, in words, His presence is more deeply felt in the Shul. Shneemar Elokim Nitza Ba'adat Kel. He says that God stands Ba'adat Kel, where the Eda is, where the, and that's where the Eda is in the Shul. Uminayin La'asara, we're on 8 lines above where it gets wide. Uminayin La'asara Hashem Palin Sheshchina Mehem. We don't know 10 people daven, the Shechina is with them. So the 10 people be davening, not necessarily in the Shul, but the Shechina is with them. Shneemar Elokim Nitza Ba'adat Kel. God is Nitza Ba'adat Kel, wherever the Eda is. How do when 3 Dayanim are sitting to judge a case, the Shechina is with them? He means God's presence is with them. Shneemar b'kerav Elokim yishbod. In the midst of Elokim, Elokim here means the Dayanim. The Dayanim are called Elokim. Rav Simon said this once, that the Dayanim are, in that sense, sort of substituting for the Ribono Shel Olam. The Ribono Shel Olam judges, and they're making the decision. So they're called Elokim. So b'kerav Elokim yishbod, that he is b'kerav Elokim, and he will judge the Ribono Shel Olam. Uminayin l'shnayim b'shoshim v'oskim b'torah sh'shchina mehem. We know 2 people are sitting studying Torah. The Shechina is with those 2 people. Shneimar azni b'ru yirei Hashem yishal reyei v'yikshev Hashem and al sin lebrets of Hasuk v'yishma v'yiktev sefer zikron l'fanav v'yirei Hashem l'kol shvei shmo. So then the ones who feared God spoke one to his friend v'yikshev Hashem yishma, God heard v'yiktev sefer zikron l'fanav, like a book of remembrance was written in front of him. Frequently the Gemara calls the Bnei Pasuk, you need the whole Pasuk. I don't know, the Gemara is throughout all the Shas like that. Sometimes they'll call the Bnei Pasuk, the Bnei Pasuk isn't part you need the end of the Pasuk. So Ma'il L'chosh Ve'ishmo, Amar Rav Ashi. So the key is that the Yirei Hashem is speaking in Torah one another, and Hashem is listening, Hashem is there. So Ma'il L'chosh Ve'ishmo, Amar Rav Ashi, Chashav Adam L'asot Mitzvah V'nenas V'lo Asa'ah Ma'alev K'tov Ki'ilu Asa'ah. That if a person thought he wanted to do a mitzvah, but through forces outside of his control, he couldn't do the mitzvah. In other words, he really wanted with all of his might to go to the shul today, but there was a big snowstorm and he really couldn't leave the house. There was no way for him to go.
It
depends. You have to be make the cheshbon. So we mentioned on Shabbos that Gevurah Yitzchak and Rav Simon had mentioned that Gevurah Yitzchak, that sometimes people say, you know, Ari Baderech Shachal Bein Rechovot, that there's a lion on the derech, you know, a young lion, there's a lion in the pan. Way, so that's what the late says. The Atzel says, the lazy person says that in Mishlei, in the Book of Proverbs. So Rav Yitzchak Saratzkin, the Rav Zalman Saratzkin's grandson, is repeating, but you hear maybe people like first, second, third time, fourth, fifth. Anyway, so Rav Yitzchak Saratzkin asks, why is he in Atzel? There's really a lion. So he's not in Atzel. It's true, and he has a real terror. That's why he's not doing it. And if there is no lion there, so he's not an Aslan, he's a Chakran. So he says there is a lion, but he would use some energy, he could find a way to get around it. He would either go over the roofs, he would tunnel, he would find a way around it. So, but sometimes there are situations where it really is impossible. So then, you should know, I remember reading, like, Ramosha Feinstein, there was a big snowstorm in New York in 1969, so I remember reading Ramosha, who was not a youngster at that time.
1969?
He was walking in this deep snow, and the cops stopped him, like, where are you going? And he said, you know, he was trying to go to shul. In other words, so there's a lot a person can do. It's not onus. So he said, wait 3 minutes. Okay. So means if you thought to do the mitzvah, you weren't able to do it, so you get credit for doing it. And when even one person sits and is toiling in Torah, the Shechina is with him. Wherever my name is mentioned, I'll go and give you a blessing. That's the way the Gemara understands it. Now, so the Gemara says, so that's the end of the statement. That was all from that was all from the statement of Rav Ado, the name of Rav Yitzchak. So the Gemara says, if I know that Hashem is with one person studying Torah, so I don't need to talk about 2 people. In other words, I know he's with one, certainly he's with 2. So, trei mechtaban mi lai b'sefer zichronot. If it's two people, so the words, and we have to clarify what this means, and we'll go over shortly. The words are written in the Sefer Zikuno, the memorial book. Chad, it sounds like the Young Israel dinner. He says, Chad lo mechtavan milei b'sefer Zikuno. One person whose words are not written in the Sefer Zikuno. V'chimei achar tafilu trei, even if two people, so the words are written down. Tlata mibaya, so certainly three are required. This is certainly three. Why don't we do that? Ma'u detema dina shlama ba'almahu. I might have thought when dayanim are judging a case, so they're just, you know, they're creating shalom. In other words, that's it's not really Torah. It's just they're like arbitrating disputes in society. Shechina is not there. Kamashmalan dina nami hainu Torah. So kamashmalan when they're adjudicating a case, that's also Torah. V'chimei achar tefilu tlata asarim v'vaya. So if there are three, so certainly ten. So asara kadma shechina v'atya. With the ten, so shechina comes and is like preceding them before they get started. Tlata adiyatve. With tlata until they sit down, so the shechina is not there. But the thing is more with that. Okay, let me just, I'll come to you in a minute for an okay, we'll take it there. So he has here. So the Gemara says it's better to study with Torah with a partner rather than alone. When two people study Torah together, their deed is inscribed in the heavenly Sefer Zichronot, Book of Remembrance, a privilege not accorded one who studies alone. Toso is citing the Mishnah in the Avod on Perek Beis, which states, all of one's deeds are inscribed in a book. Notes that all of one's deeds, whether good or bad, are inscribed above. In other words, everything is inscribed above. So Tosfos explains that one who studies alone only has his deeds inscribed in a personal book, whereas one who studies with a partner has his deeds inscribed in a communal book where the deeds of others are inscribed as well. So it's like where they're registered. The Alkun Meiri explains the difference between the private book and the public book. Each individual has his personal records for which he will eventually have to account for and be rewarded or punished according to his deeds. So there's one book is the file. Besides these records, just the Alkud HaMeiri, Hashem keeps the Sefer Zichronot similar to the Sefer Zichronot that Achashverosh maintained. It says they had Sefer Zichronot to Rei Yamim. Apparently, kings would keep a book in which they would document important events and accomplishments that were dear to them. Such a book is maintained in heaven as well, and in it Hashem records only certain special deeds, one of which is Torah study with a partner, so it's especially beloved to Hashem. So the Sefer Zichronot, that's like the video recording of your life. But then there's another Sefer, all these wonderful accomplishments that take place in the world, that's something else. Now the Rosh Hash interprets the Gemara differently than Tosfos. He reads the Gemara as saying, when two people study together, their words are inscribed in Sefer Zichronot. If you look back in the Gemara, it says, in the second white line, Trei michtavan milayhu b'sefer zichronot. Their words are written in Sefer Zichronot. This means that the chidushim, the novel Torah thoughts that emerge from such Torah study, are recorded in a special Sefer. One who studies alone has his good deeds inscribed, but he does not merit having his chidushim inscribed in the heavenly Sefer. Different way, in other words, milayhu, in other words, he made a chiddush. Now, if he did it with another person, the chidushim are in a separate book. The Maharsha also seems to interpret the Gemara to mean that the words of those who study in pairs are recorded. He explains that the Torah learning of those who learn in pairs is inscribed above because two people who study together will generally uncover the correct shad of the Torah that they study together, whereas one studying alone can easily err if he has no one at his side to correct him. And there's a big Indian, I mentioned that this at the Siyam on the Shabbat, it seems like a million years ago, so I went through very quickly, but from the Sefer Nidchei Yisrael, from the Chafetz Chaim, and he gives a number of reasons. He says it's an important study, but he gives a number of reasons why it's better to study with a group. And he says, if you study with a group, you have less of a Yetzirah to fall away from it. And if you study alone, let's say I'm studying the Gemara, I'm on Daf Vav, I close the Gemara, I come back 3 weeks later, okay, I'll pick up where I left off. If, let's say, I'm doing Daf Yomi, so I leave a Daf Vav, I come back 3 weeks later, they're in Daf Chav Zayin. How did this happen? I just only gone a day or two. How did they cover so much? And then, and then when you study with a group of people, sometimes you're Zoka to teach other people Torah, which is a higher level. And when you study with a group of people, more likely you get the accurate pshat, because the whole group will be able to correct one another. So a lot of things. Now the Netziv, he was the Rosh Hashiva of Lajan. He was always madgish the importance of studying with the Chavrusa. This is in the book Mivalajan on Yerushalayim. It's written by Rav Meir Berlin, his son. So he says that his dad would always emphasize the importance of studying with the Chavrusa. And
he was studying alone, right?
Rav Henkin? No, I don't know about Rav Henkin, but so I'm confusing things together. Wait, I'm getting confused. I'm sorry. Not Vilajan Yerushalayim. This is the Makor Baruch. In other words, the Makor Baruch is written by the Torah Tamima. Right. So it's a different sefer. Makor Baruch. So he says that. So the Torah Tamima says that the Nitziv would always be Madgish that, and he says that. That he, the Torah Tamima, when he was a Talmud in the yeshiva, he came across the Marasha, says in one place, I think in Sanhedrin, that the Chidushim that he wrote, he doesn't know if these Chidushim are so good, because he didn't have a chance to discuss it with the B'nai Yeshiva. Look at that. He wrote it on the way to the Ari, to the fair, and he doesn't know, like, and so he showed it to his uncle, and his uncle was shocked that he hadn't seen that Marasha already, and he was very happy with it, because he felt that it was Miyashiv. Okay, who's the question comes to us today? What do you got?
Is there any difference in the strength of the Shekhinah depending upon the number of the people? In other words, with the one, the two, the three, I mean, they weren't citing the sources, three especially.
Well, certainly it's a greater mitzvah when you have more people doing it. There's no question about that. And I don't know about strength of the Shekhinah, but certainly it's a bigger mitzvah when you have many more people. And you know, Asara, so Chazal teaches it's an Eda and you have Dvar Shebe Kedusha, so clearly it's a whole different status, you know, with 10 people.
But the Dayanim is not a Minyan thing. It's not an Eda.
It's a different level, you know. So all right, and more than that, I don't know. Any other questions, comments, thoughts? Everybody good? Okay, let's keep moving. All right. Excuse me. All right, we're around line six, and the sixth medium wide line. Okay, everybody think. Okay, Amar Abin Bar Rabada, Amar Yitzchak, Nishma Shbarchu Meniach Tefillin. We don't know that Hakadosh Baruch Hu puts on Tefillin. He says Shneimar Nishma Shem Bimino Vizro Uzo. God took a shua Bimino with his right hand Vizro Uzo, and it's going to be his left hand of strength. Bimino Zutar. The Min represents Torah. He says Shneimar Bimino Eishdat Lamo. In other words, to his right hand, he has a shtat, like he has the Holy Torah. It was Ro Uzo Eilat Tefillin. Ro Uzo refers to Hashem's Tefillin. Obviously, it's, you know, anthropomorphisms, but right. He says here, Shenemar, Hashem owes Leon O Yitain. Hashem will give strength to his people. And we know that Tefillin owes him. We don't know that Tefillin is an owes Le Yisrael. Him Le Yisrael, Dathiv, who Ramu, Kolame Arski, Shemeshim, Nikralach, of Yarum Mecca. All the nations will see that God's name is called upon you, they'll be fearful of you. Vitani Rablezra Gadolomir, Eilat Tefillin Shabarosh. That's Tefillin Shabarosh. So it's coming out like this, that in other words, so the Pasut that we started off with, Hashem is swearing by the Torah and by the Tefillin. In other words, the Torah is on his right hand, Tefillin is on his left hand. Hashem is taking a Shvuah, and that's the way the Shvuah is going. Now, Amalei Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Rav Chiya Bar Avin, Hani Tefillin to Mariam Maktibu. So we know our Tefillin have Pesukim, you know, Shema Vayim Shema Kadesh Vayakiv Echa. So what's the Parshio of the Kadosh Baruch Hu? So it's a pasuk. He quotes from Divrei Yamim, "Who is like your nation Israel? One goy ba'aretz in the land." Like that's like we say in Shabbos Mincha. Does Hashem, is he like happy extolling the Jewish people? Yeah, he is. The thief. And Hashem ha'marta yom. There's different ways to explain this pasuk, but you made Hashem chashuv today, or you machshiv Hashem, but Hashem mirach yom. Hashem made you chashuv. Amar kashbarach liyisrael. Atem asituni chativa achat olam. You made me special in this world. Vani asetchem chativa achat olam. Atem asituni chativa achat olam. You made me very special. Shneimar shma Yisrael shem lokinu shem echad. Vani asetchem chativa achat olam. Shneimar umikam chayisrael goy echad ba'aretz. So in other words, each one is mishabeach the other one. Well, in other words, we're Mishabeach Hashem, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and he's saying he's unique, he's the only Ribono Shel Olam, and he's our God, and then he's Mishabeach us, who's like the nation Israel, Goy Echad Ba'aretz. So Amalei Rav Acha B'Reid Rav L'Ravashi, Teilech Echad Beita. So that would be for one Ba'it of the Tefillin. The Tefillin have four Batim, four compartments. So one compartment I have, Mikam Chasil Goy Echad Ba'aretz. B'Shar Batim Oy. What goes in the other Batim? So Amalei, Ki mi goy gadol, umi goy gadol. So these are psukim in the beginning of Beit Chanan, right? It says, Ki mi goy gadol ashalo elokim krovim ilav. Did you lay that? Kashem elokim v'chol karein ulav. Umi goy gadol ashalo elokim ashalo hukim ashpatsim sadikim. Kol tura zor ashanon tim lechem yom. So we have two psukim that says, you know, praises Klal Yisrael. That's one and two. Ashrecha Yisrael, another pasuk, Israel, that's Adno Shabbat Hashem, he says, and then O Ani Salokim Lavolakachal Goy Mikir Goy, that Hashem ever attempt to take one nation out of another nation, Utitkoil Yom, and to place you above all the nations. So we comes out to six psukim we quoted. Let's go over again. We had the first pasuk was Mikam Chesul Goy Chabad Aretz. That's one. Then Kimi Goy Gadol's two. Umi Goy Gadol's three. Shrechisul four. Oni Salokim is five. Utitkoil Yom is six. So the Gemara says, "Yihach in the fish lutu v'bate." If I have too many batim, I got six psukim. Right. Ella kimi goydol mi goydol the dani la dadi b'chad beita. So the Gemara says, "Kimi goydol mi goydol." Those two will be in one bayit. Ashrech Israel nikam chayshol b'chad beita, and then these two psukim are in one bayit. Oh, and he said, "Kim b'chad beita." It's called Yom b'chad beita. Okay, so turn page on top line on the base. The Kuluk TV Bedroy. And then all of these psukim would be on the Shalyad. So that have all the partial together. Okay, so there's a few things here. So first is a famous piece from a lady Yitzchak Berdichev. He says, so the thrust of this Gemara is that Hashem is like, he's singing our praising, we sing praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Rav Levi Yitzchak says the same thing by in Chumash. If you see in the Chumash, it talks about Chag HaMatzot and Chag HaPesach, right? So in the Chumash, the holiday is called the Chag HaMatzot, right? The holiday of the matzahs. And yet we call it Chag HaPesach, is the way we call it. So Rav Levi Yitzchak Berdichev explained that we're each machshiv the other one. In other words, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's Chag HaMatzot. He remembers how we left, we didn't, you know, it was Hashem told us to go. We left, we didn't give time for the matzah to rise. And we call it Chag HaPesach. We remember how Pesach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Abotei Tim Mitzrayim, that Hashem, you know, jumped over our households in Egypt. So each one machshiv the other one. Now,
why do we say Chag HaMatzot in the Hallel?
No, we're in the Hallel. What do you mean?
Or in the additions to Shemoneh Esrei,
No.
Yalev Yavo, we call it Chag HaMatzot.
Not in Yalev Yavo, but oh, Chag HaMatzot. Right.
Why?
So I assume. It's because that's the way the Torah calls it. I assume we're following the way the Pesukim and the Chumash are calling it.
Yeah, and all the other ones we take straight from the... We all like Sukkos Torah, and Sukkos is straight from the Torah.
All right. That's what I assume. All right, now... the other thing is with this... With the Tefillin, the Arumi Mecca. So first I'll tell a story. This is a Hasidic story. This is brought down in the Yitturei Torah. He says, you know, the Baal HaTanya was in prison in Russia. You know, remember the Misnagdim made complaints about him and to the Russian government. And among other things, the Russian government was, you know, at odds with the Ottoman Empire, and they said he was setting, which he was setting like packages to Eretz Israel, to the Hasidim who were there. Anyway, they had different things. It was a very, you know, very bad time in Jewish history. Everybody was at everybody's neck with the Misnagdim and the Hasidim. So they arrested him, and he was in that, I think it's with the fortress of St. Paul and St. something else in St. Petersburg. So, according to tradition, he had some prosecutor. I don't know about the Russian criminal procedure. And according to one tradition, it was the Tsar himself. But anyway, so one day this prosecutor comes in to interrogate the Alter Rebbe. And when he was in prison, they let a shamus go and have access to him. So the shamus would go and see him all the time. And so he's with the shamus. And the Rebbe was wearing his tefillin. So this prosecutor
all
come.
The time?
I don't know about all the time, but he was davening chakras or whatever. So no. But he was just wearing tefillin at the time. So the prosecutor comes in, he sees him with the tefillin, and he turns away and runs out. So Shama said to him, "What happened?" He says, "It's before his pasuk, v'yaru kol me'arski shem Hashem nikra alacha v'yaru miyaka." So the Talmud says, "I wear my tefillin; they don't run away from me." He says, "No, but it has to be." Please, everyone's attention. I'll pause periodically for questions. In between that time, please, I need silence, okay? The three lines of work gets wide. Shablazar Gadol Omer, Elu Tefillin Shabarosh. He says, these are Tefillin Shabarosh. So he says that the Tefillin have to be embodied in you. In other words, you have to absorb all the teaching of the tefillin. In other words, you can't have just tefillin on the rosh. You have tefillin sheberosh. So he says, how can it run from you? That's what he said according to that. Then, all right. Now, well, he's got. It's interesting. In this, the sheets here that he sent from the story today, they have a similar story. About the Gra, so I don't. They don't give any sources for this. It has more of the feeling of the Hasidic type of story. I'll read the story and I'll take some questions. So he says, following the execution of Avram ben Avram, the Ger Tzedek from Vilna, there was a famous Ger Tzedek in Vilna called Avram ben Avram, Count Potocki. He says, there's an expression in Yiddish, oh, you know, you want to be another Potocki, whatever. Anyway, so he says, he was executed on Shavuos. So he converted to Judaism, and like it's bad news, especially from the aristocracy. That's not the way it works. The Jews want to convert to Christianity, that was in favor of, you know, like a non-Jew, especially from the aristocracy, convert to Judaism, we can't take it. So he was on the lam, and there's a whole story about how he was apprehended, and then he was eventually executed on Shavuos. So this is during the time of the Vilna Gaon. So the Ger Tzedek from Vilna, the authorities would not permit the Jews to gather his ashes for burial. The Gra took two students and in the middle of the night gathered the ashes and buried them. They burnt him at the stake. Anyway, but the actually in Vilna, I haven't been there, but the next to the, I think they said it's like an OL for the Gra, they have like some sort of like place for the Ger Tzedek is like near, I think. And the way I remember, I remember the reading, I don't know, they were able to get his finger or something, they buried the finger there, I don't know. So he says, when the authorities found out what happened and who was responsible, they apprehended the Gra and locked him in prison to wait his trial. After significant effort, Reb Chaim Volozhin was given permission to visit the Gra in prison. Reb Chaim mentioned to the Gra that he might be executed, but the Gra was not fazed. Reb Chaim warned that the execution would involve burning him alive, and the Gra was still not concerned. Finally, Reb Chaim told him that he would be burnt with a harlot, a zona, and the Gra's response was that if this was the case, he was certain it could not happen. Hearing the Gra's word at the meeting, Reb Chaim walked out confident the Gra's life would be spared. When the trial began, the Gra lifted the talus from his head and exposed his tefillin. When the judges saw the Gra's tefillin, they immediately declared his innocence and cleared him of the charges. Upon being released, his students asked the Gra why he uncovered his tefillin. The Gra responded, Suk states, Veruch Kamayarski Shemashon Gra Ben Lecha, as I'll explain that the Pasuk is referring to what tefillin shall roach, this is why I was released. Those present asked, many people have tefillin, and the non-Jews are not frightened by them. As I'll didn't say tefillin on one's head, since Shibarosh. In other words, the promise is only for one whose tefillin have become part of person. Okay, anyway, any questions come
to want them to know about the cat.
What about the cat?
What about the cat?
No, the burning of the black cat. I asked him.
No,
I came and asked him, did we pass the black cat?
You didn't say anything about the black cat.
Well, no, I spoke about the mazik. That's why I spoke about the mazik and stuff. But I mean, why that helps you?
Black hair, we're not burning animals.
No. First of all, the Gemara says you're going to take the placenta from the black cat. The placenta.
The firstborn of the black cat.
You're taking.
And
right.
Burn the placenta.
The placenta is getting burned.
Burn the placenta.
Okay, I'm moving on. We covered this adequately, I think, before. I'm going
to
move on. Now top line of Bubba Bays. Any questions on the previous subject? Okay. Top line on Vavam and Beis. Okay, please, top line, Vavam and Beis. Okay, please, no talking right now, okay? Okay. I'm a Rav in Baravad, I'm a Rav Yitzchak. If a person is accustomed to come to shul every day, then one day he doesn't show up. So Kadosh Baruch Hu inquires where he is. Shenemar, it means like Shem is like interested, and he says, Mivachem Yirei Hashem Shumei V'kol Ado, Shalach HaSheichim V'ino Galo. In other words, the way I saw this pasuk translated for this was in the Masifta Gemara. Mibachem Yirei Hashem is talking about the person who comes to shul every day. Shomeya b'kol abdo means he always listens to the shlich sibor davening. He says, "Shalach hashichim." Now he's gone into the darkness. He didn't show up today. Ve'ein nogalo. It doesn't shine for him. So the Gemara explains in the Dvar Mitzvah Lach Nogalo. If the reason he wasn't showing, he's doing Dvar Mitzvah, so then it's bright for him. So the Dvar Rishon Lach Ein Nogalo. Then the pasuk continues. Yiftach b'shem Hashem, my taima. Why is that bad news for him if he doesn't show? Mishum dahavale l'ftach b'shem Hashem v'lo batach. He should trust in Hashem and not do his other affairs that he's engaged in. All right. Amr Yochanan, Bishasha Kanshbarhu, Baba Bina Knesset, Veloma Tzaba Asara, if a Kanshbar comes to Shul and he doesn't find a minion there, Miyadhu Kois, he's angry.
He's
calling Marvin. Yeah, so something, right. Sometimes he's not too happy here at night either. Shinemar, Madhu Bati Vianish Karati Vianana. Why have I come? Nobody's here. Amr Kalbo, Amr Huna, Kol Kaveya Makom. Now we get into the issue of Makom Kavua, which I think you hear a lot about. Kol Kaveya Makom, let's feel it.
This was a big
Kiddush. Please. Questions and comments when I pause. When I don't pause, no comments, okay? So Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Mishash Kashbarhu Babu Knesset, when a Kashbarhu comes to the shul, Vlomat Saba Asara, Miyadu, this I did already. Amr Rabbi Kalbam Rav Huna, called Kaveh Makom L'Tfilato, whoever has a set place for his tefillah, Elokei Avraham Bezro, the God of Avraham is there to help him. Uchshamein, when he dies, Omrim Lo, Iyanav, Ichasid, what a humble person, what a chasid, what a pious person, Mitamidav Shalom Ravinu. So that's what one of the Mefarshim wanted to say, that it means that, like, he's Makshiv Tefillah in general, and he's also Kaveh Makom L'Tfilato. So, and so therefore, all these praises for him. But Avraham Avinu Manamam de Kava Makom, where do we know that Avraham Avinu was Kaveh Makom L'Tfilah? Dechtiv, by Ashkim Avraham Baboker, Makom Asher Amad Sham. That Avraham got early up in the morning to the place Asher Amad Sham. There was Hamakom, there was a place Asher Amad Sham. He says, Ve'en Amida L'Tfilah. Amida means Tfilah. He says, Shinemar by Yamot Pinchas Vaifaleel. So Avraham gets back to the place that he previously davened at, and then he can daven again in that place. Now, there's a machloket among the Rishonim. When he's talking about a makom kavua, when do I need the makom kavua? Let me just take a look. So, give me 1 second. One second. Please remember our agreement. Okay, we're on page 6 in the back, in the Dapim from the Rif. Okay, look at Rabbeinu Yonah. Okay, in the back of the brown Gemaras, you need a brown Gemara for this. Okay, here you go. Okay, page 6 in the back. It says it's around the second narrow, third narrow line. Please open the black and brown Gemara. We have lots of brown Gemaras around. Okay, so it says in the Dapim of the Rif in the back. Kol Kaveh Makom L'Tfilah Kei Avraham Yebezro. Lo Amar Zeh Makomot Shel Beit Knesset. Dekim Etshkul Makomot Tfilah Hi Ein LaHakpin Yoshev Pamim Bezavizu Pamim Bezu. So Rabbeinu Yonah says it's not talking about a seat in shul. Like when it comes to a shul, Rabbeinu Yonah holds you sit anywhere in the shul you want. Even if it's sometimes you're here, sometimes you're there. El Ratzalomar Shukaveya Makom L'Tfilato Beveito. The Rabbeinu Yonah understands when you have a place in your house where you're davening, he says, everybody has a time they can't go to shul, and then he'll designate one place in his house. That's the way Rabbeinu Yonah understands the sugya. Now, the Rush disagrees with this. The Rush holds, no, that you need a makom in shul. Yeah, you need a makom in shul for a makom kavua.
Yeah, not in your home?
He'll be makom in the shul in the home also, but so even in the shul you need it. Now, all right, 1 second, so let me see what I have here with this.
I thought the philosophy of the shul was that you don't have to have a proper
one. Well, all right, 1 minute.
Are you so between Rabbeinu Yonah and the Board of Directors?
I'm not talking Beit Midrash.
No.
I'm talking about Beit Knesset.
This is why we're not so nice people when it comes from strangers.
Okay, we'll talk in a minute. Okay, let's see. Please, I need everyone's attention. Okay, so the Makaber says, and this is in Shulchan Aruch Siman Sadi Sif Yutet, Yikba Makom L'Tfilato, a person should have a set place where he or she always davens, Shalish HaNeim Lo L'Tzorach, he won't change that spot unless it's based on need. It's not enough to have one shul where I always daven. In the shul, the person should have a set place where they always daven. Now, the Mishmaru says, so within Arba Amot, it's still considered the same place. So let's say you come to shul, and maybe somebody is in your seat. So if you sit within Dalet Amot, you're still in your makom. And somebody was saying to me today, like you don't want to, like chas v'shalom, like a machloket is also allowed in the Torah. So you don't want to to get my makom kavua, I'm going to have a big whole fight, a big thing. So you have to balance things carefully. But ideally, you should have a makom kavua. Okay, what do you want to say?
No, I mean, first of all, it's a chidush, it's his obsession. Maybe is that this is where it comes, the source of the makom kavua? This Gemara.
Right.
When you go to Rabbeinu Yonah, you kept saying Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rif. What is the...
In the middle is the Rif.
The middle, this is the Rif?
Right. And it's Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah on the side. Okay.
The Rif is Rabbeinu Yitzchak.
Oh, fine. That's it. Okay.
I got a quick question.
Yeah, what's up?
What does it help making a Mokum Kavur at home if, according to the Gemara that we learned earlier, a person's davening isn't heard if they're not in the shul?
So it means like this, that everybody... there'll be an instance where you daven at home. Sometimes there's issues. You get home late at night and you were caught in traffic and so you need daven at home. So Rabbi Yonah says, in those cases, when you daven at home, you need a Mokum Kavur at home. But
you know,
but the shua, in other words, the shul is all makom kodesh. That's what he's learned. The shul is all makom kodesh. My house is not all makom kodesh. So I have to have, this is what Rabbi Yonah learned, I have to have makom kavua in my house. But the Rosh is learning, no, I have to have makom kavua wherever I am. There's something special about davening in the same place. What's up? What's the question?
My question is, why do you need a makom kavua at home if your davening isn't going to be listened to anyway, the Gemara earlier?
No, saying why daven at home?
It doesn't mean that Hashem doesn't hear the tefillah at all. It just means it's not as efficacious, not as effective the tefillah you daven at home. That's what the Gemara is saying. Okay, let's go further with the Gemara. Okay, all right. Okay, everyone with me? Okay, so, all right, we're four lines above where it gets wide. Okay, Vavam Beis, is everyone with me? So, Amrib Chalbo, Amrib Huna, Hayosi Bina Knesset, Yafsi Psi Gasu. When a person leaves shul, he shouldn't leave with a long stride. Amar Abai, that means looks like you're rushing out. Amar Abai lo Amran el Lameipak. There's only leaving of Alameyal mitzvah lemirah. When you coming to shul, there's a mitzvah to run to shul. Shneamar near the faladad and Hashem. We'll pursue. We'll run to know God. Amar Zera Meresh haba ki haba chazin lul rabbanan dekam raati lepirika b'shabta mina kamachalim rabbanan shabta. It says initially when I saw the rabbi is running lepirika for the shiurim, and Rashi brings it down. What does he say? He says, "Lepirka l'shmo adrasha." They're running for the drasha on Shabbos. I said, "The mechal Shabbos." In other words, a person is normally not allowed to walk quickly on Shabbos, right? So there's a pasuk, right? It says, "Im tashim misha." Please, I need everybody's attention. I don't need comments on the side. It says, "Im tashim misha b'raglecha asod chavetzecha b'yom kachi v'karata shabbat oneg l'gosh Hashem akubad." It says, "V'kibado me'asod chavetzecha," and then it says. And it says the way you walk on Shabbos, the way you walk during Chol. So the way you walk on Chol during the week, everybody's rushing helter skelter. But on Shabbos, you should be walking slowly. So I thought they're Mechal Shabbos when they're running to Shul or whatever, to hear the Shir. He says, came into Shemana Lahad the Rabbi Tanachum Rishum and Levi. Once I heard this member from Rabbi Tanachum and Rishum and Levi, the Lami Ritzadam Zvar Halacha of Afilu Shabbat. Person should always run for a Dvalacha, even on Shabbos. Shinamar Acharei Hashem Yelchu Kar Yeshag Gomer. They'll follow Hashem like Kar Yeshag. It means like a person runs away from a lion. That's the way they'll run to hear what Hashem has to say. So he says, Ananami Rahinis. I also run to the Shir on Shabbos. Now, the way I remember, one of my Rebbeim is Rabbi Yaakov Rabowski. He was a big Talmud Chacham. He studied in Mir and Kamenetz in Europe, and I had him in high school. The way I remember him saying is that when a person is going, let's say he's going, he's leaving the shul, so you go slowly. You're going through shul, you're running. Let's say I'm going from one Dvar Mitzvah to another Dvar Mitzvah. The way I remember him saying is the first half you go slowly, and the second half you go quickly. That's the way I remember him saying that. All right, who's got questions about anything we did? All right. I'll talk to you later. Okay, now. All right, now.
See me after class.
All right. All right. So Yeshiva High School of Queens, okay?
Oh, you did?
Okay, the fourth wide line. YHSQ. Okay.
I'm
RB0.
Okay.
You're right. Okay, please, I need everybody's attention. We're on the first very wide line. Please, Odeid, we love you, but I need quiet, okay? So, Amar Rabbi Zeira, Agra the Pirka Riata, the Sakhar for the Perak of the Shir is running. In other words, the Sakhar, in other words, you get the Sakhar when you run to hear the Shir. Amar Rabbi Agra the Kaladukha, the Sakhar for the Kala with the Shirim, they would have before the Shabbos for the Regel, they would gather to hear Shir with the Hilchos of Regel. So, the Shir that's Dukha, it's like you're squeezed together there. Amar Rabbi Agra the Shmaita Svara, the sakhar for like a halakhic discourse, or just the halakhic discussions, the svar, like you get the sakhar for all the svars you use. Amara papa, agra de beitamya shtikuta. So one shot is the sakhar for the beis ha'avel. Beitamya is referring to a dead person, so it could be the beis ha'avel. You see on the side he has the whole shot. It could be the mourner's house, the shtikuta, though you wouldn't know it from the way some people behave in a mourner's house. Means that the mourner is like not speaking and you're not speaking, but you get sakhar for that. That's the way to go. Or alternatively, beitamya could be with the house where the deceased is actually located, and then you get sakhar for not speaking Torah. And Lewis is not saying you're supposed to speak that. Amar Zutra, Agritanita Tzidkata. The sakhar for a tanis is the tzedakah that a person gives on the tanis. He says, Amar Sheshit Agrit Despeda Deluye. The sakhar for the Hesped is like causing the people to wail. In other words, that's the what you get sakhar for. Amar Bashi Agrit Behilule Mile. The sakhar for the Beis HaMishnah, like a wedding, is Hilule, like the positive things you say to the Chasim. Okay, now the Gemara says on the fourth white line, Amar Huna Kol Palel Akori Beda Knesset Ikra Rasha. Now there's a whole machlok of what this means, but I'm going to do with the pshat that Rabbi Yonah has. Let me say it outside, then we'll do it inside. So he explains that in Babel, so this will be the shul. This sefer will be the shul. So in Babel, the shul is facing west because that's where Yerushalayim is, in the west. The opening, the entranceway, was in the east. And that's the way in Chazal, you see the way a shul is. The opening is on the opposite side from where the Aron Kodesh is. So in other words, like some shuls, and some we know, like the opening is on the side, you know what I mean? But the opening was like where you go forward. Right, exactly right. That's another I mean, here in the basement, right. Is the way. Right. All right, I got it wrong. We're really running out of time. Anyway, so the way Rabbi Yonah explains it. Let's say here's the shul, and the person is outside the shul. Here's the west side where the aron is, and the east side is where the entrance is. So the person is outside the shul, and he's facing east, away from Yerushalayim. So everybody's in the shul facing west. He's outside the shul facing east. So let me just do quickly Rabbeinu Yonah, then we really have to run. Let's go back in Rabbeinu Yonah. I need people with Rabbeinu Yonah.
Page 6.
Is that right? I'm going to send him. Yeah. Okay. This is around the eighth, very wide line in page 6 in the Dapim of the Rif. We have more Gemaras there. If you want to take Gemaras, he says. So he quotes the Pshat from Rashi. Let me go cut this through here. All right. Put a. Yeah. Okay. So look at the third line. Ulafichach ha'omeid sham v'chozer achurav lebeit haKnesset. If he's standing outside and he's turning his back to the shul, nikra rasha. He's called a rasha. Neishlosh in the room for three reasons. Echaychan neishkulim b'fnei b'humi b'chutz. Everybody's inside. He's outside. That's not so good. V'od sha'otam shebeit haKnesset palim pneim klape heichal v'omeid b'mizrach v'hum palim panav klape marav. They're all facing one direction. He's facing the other direction. V'od sha'achurav klape beit haKnesset. And his back is to the shul. So he doesn't win like this spectacular reward. Okay, let's be back on the Gemara on Daf Av, and I got run to the end of the Gemara when we're going down. Okay, so on the 430 wide line, Amar Puna Kumpula Korbinex and Grasha, Shnemar Savim Rashayim Yithalahu, like around, in other words, they're outside, that's where the Rashayim are. Amar by the Amran of the Mahadar Ape the Beit Kanishna. The Bai says it's only if he's not facing the shul. The Mahadar Ape the Beit Kanishna, late Lanbo. It sounds like if he would turn around, it sounds like from the way the Rebbe always learned, even though he's outside the shul, it wouldn't be so terrible. And he's not doing it. Who gathered to come and sell the Akhori Beit Kanishna? The Mahadar Ape the Beit Kanishna. It was a certain person, he was davening Akhori Beit Kanishna the way we described it, and his back is to the shul, the whole Zach. Chalaf Eliyahu Chazya. So Yael passed by, and he saw him. Idamelei Kitaya. He appeared to him like an Arab. Amalei Kedu Bar Kayam Kame Marach. In other words, it's like near like Shtei Rishuyot. Rashi says Kedu is like two, and Bar. Where's Rashi? Kedu is, in other words, Du is two, and Bar is Rishuyot. It was like your appearance looks like two Rishuyot. It looks like two deities. These people are worshiping one direction. You're worshiping another direction. Shaf Sasra Bakatla, he took off his sword and he killed the person. And the one of the Mefarshim wants to say that why did he appear like an Arab? He wanted to demonstrate that like it's so egregious, this conduct, that even like non-Jews would view this as being like something terrible. Okay. Now this is the continuation of the pasuk that we just quoted above, which was Sabir Rishim in Talakun, Krum Zulut Lebnei Adam. These are the things that are like Berumo Shalom, the most important things in the world. And Rashi brings what are the things Berumo Shalom, like Tefillah Sha'ol Lamal, like Tefillah. Means sometimes there are things very important and people treat like zero. You know, like, I hope you don't get upset with me, like talking to Chazar Sashatz. So the Chaber says, Gadol Avonam in Yisrael. The Rav Eber is too great to bear. And other people, nothing. I'm allowed to talk. And talking during Kaddish, nothing. And it could be other things. It could be Hilchos Nida. It could be like, you know, like kissing your neighbor's wife. Everybody, like things which are like, you know, Chashuv, people treat like zero. All right, now, he says, Please. Listen, and don't forget, you're being recorded. Rav Yochanan and Rav Lazar, the Amri Tarvayu, Rav Yochanan and Rav Lazar both say, this is a different shot. He says, it's talking about a person, like a creditor that's harassing the debtor. In other words, there's a poor debtor, and the creditor is harassing him. So at the beginning of the pasuk says, he's like walking around him, you know, he feels uncomfortable, and then says, Krum Zulud, he says that when a person needs people, like his face changes like Krum, Shinemar Krum Zulud Bnei Adam, I Krum, Kiatra Avdim Yamar, Ofechad Yish B'Krachei Yam, it sounds like he's a peacock. He says, that's the one that has all the colors, right? Ukrum Shmo, became a it changes different colors. Means when the creditor is pressing this poor guy, his face is changing colors. He's so embarrassed. He says, "Rabam Rabasi Dami Tarbayo Kilini Dom Mishnei Dinim Eishumayim." As if he's judged with two dinim by fire and water. And this continuation, it says, "Excuse me, Shinemar here Kafta Enosh LeRoshenu Banu BaEishumayim." You put somebody LeRoshenu, and Rashi learns LeRoshenu to be like our creditor. The targum of Noshe is Kirashia, like. So here, Kafta Enosh as a creditor, Banu BaEishumayim. Okay, but Amar Rabbi Chelbo, Amar Rav Huna, Lomi Hadam Zayir B'Tfilat Amincha, Shirli Yolun Ena B'Tfilat Amincha. So the way one of the Mefarshim, I think it's the Gra, he learns that it means you should be careful to daven at the first time that you should daven. He says that Eliyahu was answered at Zman Mincha. Shnemar B'Yibah Lona Mincha B'Yigash Eliyahu Navi B'Yomer. Eliyahu Navi Bahar Carmel is challenging the Navi Abal. And so he does his tefillah right when the korban mincha is being offered in the base of Mikdash. That's the best time. That's mincha katana. He says, and he says, Aneni Hashem Aneni, answer me, God, answer me. Aneni Shtiridesh B'Neshmaim, Aneni Shal Yomru Masik Shafimim. Answer me that fire will come down from heaven, and that people shouldn't like mock it and say it's just sorcery. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Apatula Arvid. Rabbi Yochanan says, even by Mariv, you should daven at the first, like, the first best time. Shinemar Tikon Tefillah Tikitorah L'Fanecha Masak Kapayim Minchad Arev. L'may Tefillah be like Ketoret. So Ketoret is offered in the afternoon. So offer this Tefillah after the Ketoret. And then he says, Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar after the Shacharit. By Shacharit, also the first best time, Shinemar Hashem Boker Tishma Kuli, Boker Erach L'Chabat Speh. Mentions Boker twice, that's when the Ketoret, it says by the Ketoret also, it says Boker Boker. So it means that you should offer it like early in the morning, like it means like at sunrise. Okay, but Amar Rav Chelbo Amar Rav Huna, Kolonemi Suda Chatan Ve'inu Misamcho, whoever gets benefit from the Suda B'chasen, and he's not Misameach B'chasen, I'm just there to eat and not like be Misameach B'chasen, Over B'chamisha Kolot. Ooh. He says he's over on five kolot. Shneimar kol sason v'kol simcha, kol katan v'kol kolah, kol omrim hodu Hashem tzvakot. Like you should praise Hashem. He says v'imisamcho mash scharov. He's misameach l'chas and what's his reward? Hashem levi zochel l'torah shenab chamisha kolot. Now, I saw they brought down the Masechet Gemara. They quoted the Tamei Minhagim. They said that they thought this is the reason why the minhag is that the Kalis family makes the party. In other words, here you see it says if you're nana from Sudas Chasam, made a misamcho. You're nana from the Suda B'chasam, and you're not misamechem. So if it's Suda that the Kala is making, so you won't be over on these five kolot. Okay,
All right.
Now he says okay. Now I'm Rav Shimon Levi. So he says. Was given five kolot. Shnemar, but please, I need everyone's attention. By he, by yom hashishi b'yoda boker. By he, kolot is two. Uvrakim v'nan kavil lahar. But kol shofar is three. But gomer. By he, kol shofar is four. But lokim v'nan kavil five. So ini vaktiva kolomer women are kolom. So there's another pasuk that says everybody's seeing kolom. That would be another two. That would be there be six and seven. Otan kolom dekodem matan torah. Those are the same kolom as before. Rabbi Vawa Mark ilu hikriv toda. That if you're mesameach chasen, it's like you brought a korban toda. Shneamar, and this is neviim toda beit Hashem. This is the same pasuk that says kol sason v'kol simcha. They bring a toda beit Hashem. Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak Amar kilu banachat mikorban Yerushalayim. They build one of the korban Yerushalayim. Shneamar ki yashiv shvura aretz kibrishon amar Hashem. Return. This goes like the Gemara says, like when a chasen and kala that they break up, like even the mizbeach sheds tears. So what?
Gone.
Yeah, even the Mizbeach sheds tears, so it makes sense that when the Chas and Kala get together, it's like you're building Korban Yerushalayim, it could be like the rebuilding base of Mikdash. Okay, but Amar Reb Chel Bomar Reb Huna, Kodam Sheish Bo Yirat Shemayim, Devar Nishmayim. If a person has Yirat Shemayim, means people will listen to him. Shnei Amar, Sof Devar Kol Nishmayim, Lokimi Rabbe Gomer, Mai Kizek Kol Ha'adam. In other words, Sof Devar Kol Nishmayim means that everybody will listen to what you say, because you're Yirei Hashem. Mai Kizek Kol Ha'adam, Amar Lazar, Mai Kishmark, Kulu Nivra, El Mishvil Zeh. The whole world was created for the Yirei Hashem, and Rabbi Abba Bar Kana Mar Shakul Zekin and Kolam Kulo, he's equal to the whole world. Rishimin Azay Omer, Amilam Zoma Omer, Kola Olam Kulo Nivra Elit Sevet Zed Roy to the Kabbalim. There's a chiluk between each one of these Lashonot, but the idea is when a person's a Yirei Hashem, that's the whole tachlis of why the world was created. Okay, but Amar Tzelbo Rav Huna Kli Shnei Chaver Shuragilu Tzelo Shalom Yakdim Lashalom. If I know that you always say hello to me, good morning, I should say hello to you first. Shneimar Bakesh Shalom Rav Pei. Below Hexier, if I say good morning, of course there's a lot of people like this, they just don't respond. He says, Nikra Gazlan. That person's called a Gazlan, doesn't respond. Shneamar, Batembi Artem Akerim, Gazalta Ani Bivatechem, you've like stolen from the Ani. What does the Ani have to steal? The only thing the Ani has is his good morning, and so you're called a Gazlan when you don't respond.
Isn't it a machlokas where it's a beautiful more important to daven mincha at the first opportunity? Or right before late in the day, where it was done in the Beit HaMikdash,
No. The Korban Tamid was brought at 3:30. At 3:30 every day.
At 12:30.
12:30 is not the ideal time to daven mincha, but I'm saying the best time. In other words, you should daven it. In other words, Shachar instance at sunrise, and then Maariv would be Seisa Kochavim.
No dispute.
So that means at the first best time to do it, as opposed to.
But I thought that the late Maariv was better for the
Shema. It's between what and what? In other words, as between davening at 4:30 and davening at 9:00, 9:00 is better than 4:30. Okay, I got to go. Well, that's it.